Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. In the natural world, it's fair to say that if amphibians aren't happy, then nobody's happy. Frogs and toads are incredibly sensitive to water quality, and an upcoming volunteer survey in Michigan aims to check on amphibian well-being in the state. Current State's Melissa Benmark is here with more. Sounds interesting, Melissa.
Mark, I talked with Lori Sargent, a wildlife biologist of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, about the annual frog and toad survey. She coordinates the survey, which is now in its 20th year. And when I heard about this, my first question was, you know, it just seems a little tricky to try to count frogs.
Well, this is sort of a first screening type of survey. It's not a real rigid scientific study. We are hoping to track trends of populations and distribution of species across the state so that if we have a trend of decreasing, for example, of a species in an area, we hope to attract some further research, say from a university or someone, to investigate it further.
How long have you been having this survey?
This is the 20th year.
And about how many people usually participate?
Well, I don't know about people, but we hover around 200 routes per year. It could be anywhere from one person to a whole classroom. Several teachers do it with their classrooms, so I really couldn't tell you how many people.
Now, I was looking at the instructions online, and that was actually one of the things I didn't understand very well was the routes. How do folks know where they're supposed to go?
Well, the instructions tell you how to place your routes. Basically, it's what I call modified random. I like to place the routes in areas where people want to do routes. That way, I have longer people want to do them, and they do them longer and more consistently. They're kind of modified random in that, that they can put them where they want them. But there are certain qualifications for a site. It has to be, you know, a particular type of habitat, which are described in the instructions. But, you know, a type of wetland that a frog would live in. And they have to be at least a half a mile apart so that you're not listening to the same frogs between two sites. And you have to pick out your sites about now before the frogs start calling so that you're not biased. So you don't choose your sites by if there's frogs calling or not.
I thought it was interesting that it said in the instructions, you know, pick places where frogs should be, not where you know frogs are necessarily.
Right, because negative data is just as valuable as positive data. If they see a nice wetland there and then they go and do their route and if there's no frogs, well, you know, there's something going on there, you know, that we should check out.
I understand that frogs are an indicator species in terms of kind of the overall health of various habitats. Could you explain a little bit more about that?
They're a good indicator of water quality in general because they absorb everything, the water and the oxygen that they use, right through their skin. So it goes right into their organs in their body so that they're really bothered by toxins and they're really affected. And they not only die from these things, that affects their reproduction, it affects their metamorphosis. So it can, you know, affect them in a number of different ways. And it can, you know, decrease populations. And so they're usually the first animals in a wetland system that react to a problem.
I would describe myself as pretty much a frog amateur in terms of being able to listen to them and know what kind I'm hearing. I mean, I know what a spring peeper sounds like. That's about it. How do volunteers for this frog survey, how do they know what they're hearing?
Well, they get a CD from us with all the frog calls, and it's a really nice CD in that it tells you how to remember. They don't just play the call and say, this is a chorus frog. They say, well, it sounds like, you know, your nail running against the metal comb. So, you know, it gives you, you know, little remembering tidbits, you know, how to remember. And and there's only 13 species in the state, so it's not like the hundreds of bird calls that you might, you know, have to remember if you're for a bird survey. And there's no one part of the state that has all 13 species. So you're usually only having to learn 9 or 10 species.
And then how do you estimate how many you're hearing at any given location?
Well, we don't actually count individuals. We use an index of abundance. So there's a 1, a 2, or a 3, Rural One is just, you could count them if you had to really easily. Maybe there's one or two calling, up to a three where there's a whole chorus, like you hear peepers most of the time. There's no way you could count individuals even if you wanted to. So we sort of look at abundance, not counting individuals. And how I do analysis of populations is I keep track of how many sites the species are heard at. That's how we track the trends of the populations. We're not actually counting or even having any idea of the numbers of individuals of a species. We're tracking the number of sites that they're actually heard at.
Do you have enough folks to cover the number of sites that you'd like to have the information from?
Well, I mean, ultimately, we'd like every wetland body, you know, that a frog might live in covered. And we don't have that, although we do have at least one route in every county. And, you know, and people will participate for maybe, you know, a few years. We ask that people commit at least 3 years to it if they're going to be involved. But I think the average number of years is maybe 5 or 6 years that people participate. So we have people starting up every year and people getting out of the survey every year. I have more than 30 routes, however, done that have been done all every year for 19 years.
No
so,
kidding. Wow.
You know, that's it's amazing to me that people keep with us that long.
It sounds like some folks just kind of make a tradition of it.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
What time of day is best to listen for frogs and toads?
You're supposed to start the survey a half an hour after sunset or more. So it's at least a half an hour. So after dark, basically. There are species like Western chorus frogs, for example, that do call in the afternoon. And people always want to start their routes then. Although the chorus frogs will continue to call after dark, and most of the other species don't start until after dark. So we still encourage them to wait till after dark. And you might hear some of those species calling during the day. Peepers, wood frogs will call during the day. But really their peak calling time when they're really going at it is after dark.
What's the time period for the survey? When do they start?
Not
and when
really
does it end?
A time period. We have suggested time frames just so that you start paying attention. But basically it's the weather. Pretty soon, you know, if it continues to be warmer down here in the southern part of the state, we may have frogs calling by the end of March. And you just have to pay attention. And when the frogs are really starting to go at it, you know, you need to go out there on your first run. So it's really not a date thing, other than we ask that the runs are done 2 weeks apart so you're not listening to the same species. And basically, you have to do it three times because there are species that only call first thing in the spring, like wood frogs, and then there are frogs that wait until June to start calling, like bullfrogs and green frogs. And so in order to catch all the species that call in your area, you need to run your route three times. Basically, it's April, May, and June, but like I said, it's weather-dependent. A lot of times up way up in the UP, you might go into July.
So once the volunteers do their three listening runs, then what do they do with that information?
They send it in to me, and I summarize the data for the year, and I add it in to all the other years, and then they get a report from me at the end of the year.
There's something really kind of primal about hearing the first frogs start going in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if people kind of enjoy this as kind of a seasonal celebration, that in fact we are going to eventually have a time again when there's not snow on the ground.
Oh, really? Yeah. I really think the frog calling is the harbinger of springtime. You know, it's when you hear those frogs calling, you know, spring is coming. And I think if they weren't around, people would really, really miss them.
So where can people go for more information on the frog and toad survey?
Well, they need to contact me. Usually my email is the quickest because I'm always looking at my email. But they can also call my office and get information from me. There's also some information and instructions on our website.
Lori Sargent, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for talking to me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.